We're coming today to consider how, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth, he will, among many things that will take place upon his return, one of the things he will do at the very commencement of his reign will be to judge those wicked ones who joined Antichrist in his rebellion against God. It's wrong to think that every unconverted person, when Jesus Christ comes again, will be judged and sent to hell. That will not be the case when he comes again. Now, every unconverted person will eventually be judged and sent to hell. But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again to this earth, not everyone on the earth who is not converted will there and then be sent to hell. I'll come to why I say that. And you can be sure I say that because I believe that's what the Bible says. I wouldn't dare say it unless I could see in the Bible that that is taught. Quickly turn to Revelation chapter 13, where we have a description given us of the Antichrist, and in the verse 2, we're told he is like a leopard. Now, there's none of us who have ever watched videos, animal kingdom videos, and have seen the leopard, but we have admired this creature. We know that it's a fearsome beast, but knowing that still, we admire this creature because of its beauty. And there will be that which men will admire about the Antichrist. He's not going to be a repulsive-looking individual. We think of Hitler, you know, and he was a runt of a man, a wee squirt of a boy. He was anything but attractive. But I don't think that will be the case with Antichrist. I believe that there will be many things about him. His personality, his appearance, his deportment, his speech, all of which will have an attractiveness. But he's still a leopard, cruel, beast. And then God combines in that picture a likeness to a bear, the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. I might just say that the feet of the bear are the most fearsome part of the bear, because it's the claws of the bear that it chiefly uses to slay its prey. And if there have ever been attacks upon humans, the effect of a swipe by one of those great paws, the long, long claws that are on the end of it, is usually fatal. And then, of course, it's the mouth of the lion. And again, that's the part of the lion that is used to dispatch its prey. It attacks and it kills by clamping down those great teeth upon its enemies. All these little things you have to take note of. God's giving you here a picture of the Antichrist. And the dragon gave him power, that's the devil, one of the titles of the devil, gave him his power and his seat. So here's the power that lies behind the Antichrist. He's of the devil. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. The word means to admire, look on with admiration. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him. Notice that little phrase, and it was given unto him. It was given unto him. That simply is a reminder that God allowed him to do these things. Just as God allowed the devil to attack Job. He couldn't attack Job until God said, all right, I'll allow you to do certain things against Job. He was allowed by God to do this. God in his wisdom permitted this. It was given unto him. And so it will be with the Antichrist. It's good to know that. Never forget that. The enemies of God and the enemies of God's people can only go as far as God permits them. And that's repeated to us again and again here. Verse 7, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, he will target first and foremost the Antichrist, the false prophet, and all his armies, and all those that received the mark of the Antichrist, and thereby indicated that they were 100% behind him in his rebellion against God. You see what it says here in chapter 13, we have read some verses from it. Do we notice here, please, in the verse 8, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Those who will support the Antichrist are those who are not among the elect of God. Their names are not written down in the Lamb's book of life. And they are the ones who will back Antichrist. And they are the ones whom Christ will judge when he returns. You know, when it comes to the doctrine of election, which is a bit of a puzzle to many people, but when it comes to the doctrine of election, we can say very clearly that those who are the elect of God will show that they are the elect of God by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you know the elect. During their lifetime, some when they're very young, some in later years, will come to Christ and own him as their Savior. That's how you know the elect. If you're not saved today, if you're not saved, let me say that if you are one of the elect of Christ, God will bring you to himself. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "My sheep, hear my voice and follow me. Follow me." There's nothing in us that merits or deserves salvation. Salvation is the outworking of God's wonderful, wonderful purpose and mercy amongst his people. I ran around with a bunch of fellows when I was a teenager, but there came a day when I heard the voice of the Lord Jesus. I heard the gospel. And I was compelled by divine grace to leave the life and the activities that I had been engaged in up until that time. Leave it all behind. And those that I ran around with, who were my friends, but who did not want anything to do with the gospel, I was compelled to leave them as well. And I turned my back on them, and I started to follow Christ. And it is by following Christ that we make our calling and election sure. So when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to this earth, he's going to judge those who have been engaged in the most wicked rebellion that has ever taken place. For Antichrist and his followers have declared war on the Lamb of God. Open, blatant, defiant opposition to God. Antichrist has said, "I'm God, not Jesus, not Jehovah. I'm God." And all who followed him believing him to be God and rejecting Jesus Christ. Well, when the Lord Jesus comes again, it is that people he is going to judge. Those are the ones he's going to judge and going to deal with and going to bring down to everlasting damnation. I want to say something else. A very important verse in God's word, which shows us and demonstrates that who it is will be judged when Jesus comes again, and who it is will not be immediately judged when Jesus comes again. This is an important verse. Zechariah chapter 14 and the verse 16. Now we have come on this verse on occasions already, but I want to emphasize one particular aspect of the verse and have you look with me at it. It's chapter 14, the last chapter in Zechariah, and it's the verse 16. Now, before we come to verse 16, let me remind you what's in all the other verses. Please remember that it's in Zechariah 14 that we read in the verse 3, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem." That's the scene of Christ's return. So that's what we're talking about here. Christ's return, coming to defend his remnant in Jerusalem, the remnant of Israel. "And on that day," it says in verse 16, "it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Now, I'm going to read that again, and I want you to notice it. Please, listen to what it says. "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King." You see what it's telling us here? First of all, there will be left survivors among the nations that all banded together to support Antichrist and come against Jerusalem to destroy it. Antichrist and his host will be destroyed when Jesus comes again. But there will be those who will not be destroyed among the nations that supported Antichrist. That clearly tells us, you know, that not everybody in the 10 kingdoms which supported Antichrist, not everybody in those kingdoms will have received the mark of the beast, will have given themselves heart and soul to support Antichrist. And that being the case, when the Lord Jesus comes and strikes down Antichrist and strikes down all his supporters, there will be among those 10 nations some left. Some left. And they are not saved people. They're not saved people who are left. How do I know that? Very simply. What's going to happen to saved when Jesus comes? What's going to happen? They're going to be glorified. Isn't that what's going to happen? Every Christian on the earth, when Jesus Christ comes again, is going to be glorified. They're going to meet him in the air, along with all those who throughout the centuries believed in Christ but had died. They're going to be raised from the grave, so that the dead believer will be raised and glorified, and those who are on the earth when Jesus comes will also be glorified, and together they will ascend and meet the Saviour in the air. So every living Christian on the earth will be glorified when Jesus comes again. But here we read of those who are left among the nations that supported Antichrist. They're not glorified, but rather we read that they begin to go up to Jerusalem to worship the King. So the point I'm making is this. Not every unconverted person, when Jesus Christ comes again, will be judged and sent to hell. There will be those on the earth who are not saved when Jesus comes again, and they will continue to live upon the earth. Only they'll be living in very different circumstances to those which they have been living under before the Lord Jesus comes again. You might say, well, that's a very small basis to build a doctrine upon. This simple little phrase, "and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king. That little statement is enough to say that there will be those upon the earth who are not saved, but who will not be judged when Jesus Christ comes again, not be judged and sent to hell. Well, boys and girls, let me tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ himself taught us that we can build doctrine on not just a text, because, let me remind you, if God says something, and even if he only says it once, that's enough. That will come to pass. But the Lord Jesus said, it's not even necessary for us to have a whole verse on which to build a doctrine. But one word would be sufficient. One word. The Savior, on one occasion, was questioned about the resurrection by those who didn't believe in it. And the Savior answered them by quoting, you can read this in Matthew chapter 22 and the verse 32. The Lord Jesus quotes a verse, quotes a statement by God. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Those words were spoken by God to Moses. And the Lord Jesus quotes that statement uttered by God to Moses to prove that there was a resurrection. And simply the Lord was saying, God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were dead before Moses was addressed by God. But God didn't say to Moses, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were still alive. Oh, not upon the earth, but they were still alive. They hadn't ceased to be when they died. So there's the Lord Jesus building the important doctrine of the resurrection on one word. One word. I am, rather than I was. If you look at Galatians, the chapter 3 and the verse 16, one of the 3 and 16s of the Bible, I might say, you'll see that Paul the Apostle builds a doctrine, a great doctrine, on one letter. One letter. Oh, boys and girls, God's word is true. Every letter, every jot and tittle of God's word is true, and we can therefore build our hopes upon. And coming back to Zechariah chapter 14 and the verse 16, we're taught there that there will be unconverted people still living on the earth after Jesus comes. We'll consider what happens to them the next time we gather together. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, write your word upon our hearts. Give us reverent hearts regarding thy word. Help us, Lord, to remember that Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not God's word. It shall never perish. Answer prayer now for us. For Jesus' sake. Amen.